This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, the South Central Wisconsin chapter of the Audubon Society announced that they are changing their name to Badgerland Bird Alliance. The new name is the result of months of discussion after concerns were raised about the organization's namesake, John James Audubon. Audubon was a 19th century naturalist and artist who published a now world-famous book of bird illustrations, but he also bought and sold enslaved people and advocated for slavery and against abolition. According to the National Audubon Society's website, Audubon did, quote, despicable things even by the standards of his day, end quote. Our next guest joins us for an inside look into the process of selecting a new name in the midst of controversy, what it means when an organization remakes itself to disavow racist legacies and be more inclusive. Matt Reitz is the executive director of Badgerland Bird Alliance. That's the Wisconsin chapter of the National Audubon Society. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob. Pleasure to be here.
What started this conversation to you in the now Badgerland Bird Alliance?
Well, we have been talking about this issue for almost 2 years, actually more than 2 years, when in July of 2020, the National Audubon published an article about the complicated history of John James Audubon in their magazine. And that really kicked off discussions about what the Audubon name means. And it was also part of a national reckoning over historical figures and race in this country. And that's when our board and staff really started thinking about what that name means to us in our work and what that name means to us moving forward in the future. So that's when we began really considering in earnest, sharing information with our members, talking to other chapters around the country, and also talking to National Audubon, and really starting to grapple with the complicated legacy of John James Audubon.
And there was a parallel conversation going on, I think, in the birding world about, is this inclusive? Do people who aren't, say, white feel comfortable? We had the Christian Cooper birding incident in New York City. I've talked to some people who lead birding groups for people of color here in the state, trying to make things more comfortable. Was that part of the story here as well?
Absolutely. We recognized principally in 2020 and then really moving forward that we had a lot more to do to make conservation more inclusive. It's been historically excluded a lot of populations, a lot of community members and marginalized groups. And we had to do some work, not just because of the ethics surrounding it, that it was the right thing to do, but also because conservation needs all people. It's in order for it to be sustainable and just, we needed to include more people in our work. And that work benefits from more people.
Now, when people are talking about renaming things, we've seen in many spheres of American life, it gets controversial. The argument sometimes is, why not keep the name and the historical connections it has? Maybe have a conversation about what was behind that name, but don't actually change the name. Keep that historical continuity. How did you tackle that potential, at least, objection?
Yeah, well, I admit, too, that when I first heard of Audubon's racist legacy and some of the other issues that were going on in his history, which was really not well told in biographies and not well known, I thought to myself, well, that's not what Audubon means to me, and I'll certainly tell you that that has changed. And you know, when you grapple with when you recognize Audubon's environmental legacy, you really have to grapple with his full legacy. So for us, it was we couldn't just footnote the name, which we determined and learned from talking to community members and partners and listening to our members, that for a lot of groups, although for some it meant birds, it also meant harm for a lot of people, is creating barriers for people. So it wasn't enough just to put an asterisk on it and then go about our business.
Can you talk a little more about John James Audubon and what you've learned about him since that starting point?
Well, I'm certainly no historian, of course, but there are historians who have detailed more of Audubon's complicated legacy. Yes, he was known as a pioneer, as an outdoorsman, and he created a very well-known bird book. But in doing so, he bought and sold people for the benefit of that book. He was known to desecrate native graves and take skulls. And he sent those skulls to his colleague, who was one of the founders of basically racist theories about different races, scientific racism. And he also, I mean, he fabricated data. He did all sorts of different kinds of things. But that racist legacy was a big cross to bear.
Talking to Matt Reitz with the executive director of Badgerland Bird Alliance. formerly the local chapter of the Audubon Society, still the local chapter of the National Audubon Society, talking about what went into that name change. Matt, you mentioned this was a 2-year process. What went into that? What happened along the way to decide to get rid of the old name and to come up with a new name, which is never easy?
A lot of care, due diligence. It was a long process, a lot of hard questions. We had to look very closely at our own selves, both individually as an organization, and how we were creating barriers for people. That it was July 2020 that really launched it. And then our board tasked a special committee last year in August to really examine what the Audubon name meant for our organization. This is actually following on the heels of talking to Audubon leaders from around the country for many, many months and sharing information with our members and hearing opinions from them. But that special committee did an incredible amount of research and work and prepared a special report for our board of directors that they reviewed carefully and discussed thoroughly at the December 2022 meeting, and decided unanimously to drop Audubon from our name and seek a process for developing a new name in an inclusive manner, something that would better represent our work.
I've been reading reporting about this on the national level, where there were some reactions from donors and members saying, if you change the name, I'm out, mm-hmm. basically. Did you encounter that kind of pushback here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and even before the board made that decision, we recognized that there would be a number of potential contingencies and consequences to doing this, like loss of brand recognition, for example, or our losing members. And we certainly did lose members who left our organization because they disagreed with it, many of whom said, you know, that's not what Audubon means to me. And it was disappointing that they didn't hear us out in many cases before we had the chance to really talk about the importance of why we needed to do this. It was, for us, not really a choice. It was necessary. So, but for as many people as left our organization, we've had probably more join in our work.
Now, the national group, the Audubon Society, ultimately reached a different answer. They've been very frank on their website about John James Audubon's history. They've got a page up about that. They've decided to stick with the name, but they've said chapters like yours, you can do what you want. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? It's got to feel a little bit like an uneasy relationship.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we have respect that National has their own decision. We're separate 501c3s, although we're affiliated with them. We make our own programming. We do our own governance. We raise our own money. We make our own decisions. And then for us, we knew that it wasn't that we had to drop the name, that despite our affiliation with National, that for us, retaining the name was going to be problematic for our work, and that changing the name makes our work more sustainable, inclusive, equitable, better.
There might be people listening, maybe people of color or people who don't see themselves represented in the birding world, who might say, great, you've changed the name, now what?
Well, this is just a piece of the work that has to be done in conservation to make it more inclusive. Our name change is part of that. It's a signal. It's the name that greets people at the door. And if it's a barrier, that's a problem. So we want to invite people into that tent, but we've also got to create a culture broadly that welcomes people of color and marginalized groups. And we're working on that throughout our organization. And it isn't just an initiative. It's core work. We're doing this from now until forever.
A lot of organizations, as I mentioned, may be wrestling with some version of this story, not just in the birding world, but everywhere in the United States. If somebody's out there listening and saying, yeah, we're going through this at my place of work or organization or whatever, what advice would you give them to try to bring as many people in the conversation and build a good process?
Well, that you just said it right there. You bring people into the conversation. I think folks really need to be open to this issue. And get past the instant reaction, because that's honestly what I did. I had an instant reaction and felt a way. But listening to people, learning, and really kind of taking in the issue surrounding all of this really is an interesting thing to see. And I've talked to colleagues from around the country that when we first talk to folks about this, they say, well, that's not what it means to me. But if you give them time, sometimes they never change that opinion, but sometimes they do, and they become the biggest proponents for a name change. They see why it matters. So we're here as a resource for all chapters in the country who are thinking about this name change, and we've actually helped a lot of them with sharing of materials, and I've visited with board members and other organizations, so We're certainly willing to do that. I know that other organizations that have changed their name are willing to do that, too.
Now, I know going through a difficult process like this, some people might be concerned, like, is this going to take away the thing that brought me in the first place, my joy of, you know, observing birds and protecting birds and nature? Is that still there, that joy for you?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Birds are awesome. This is exactly why one of the reasons why we did this was that we were realizing that not all people were able to experience the joy of birds that I do, for example. And so we've replaced every single word in our former name, Madison Audubon Society, with something that better represents where we work and, more importantly, what we do. And, I mean, for example, a lot of folks said, well, Audubon means birds to me. Well, bird is in our title instead of Audubon now, and that's better than Audubon in meaning birds. So, and then the end of our new name is Alliance. And I love the portion of that that has all, because birds are for all. They need all, and everybody should be able to experience the joys of birds. We're in the joy business. It's serious business, but it's also joyful.
Leave us with a brief pitch for anyone who hasn't gotten into that love of birds for whatever reason to maybe keep watching the skies.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can see birds in your backyard. There are so many, especially now it's migration time. So put out a feeder. And just watch. You don't have to be an expert birder. There are so many beautiful, incredible species that are very common here. Just take a look at a cardinal or a blue jay. They're incredible birds. So birding is for everyone. Everybody should be able to enjoy birds and get out there and have a good time.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. I donated, by the way, to WPR while we were waiting. So
awesome. Thank
everybody
you.
Else should as well.
That's Matt Reitz, Executive Director of the South Central Wisconsin Chapter of the national group, the Audubon Society. That chapter recently changed its name to Badgerland Bird Alliance. He joined us to give an inside look into why the organization decided to change its name, what went into the process, and how wildlife conservation groups can be more inclusive.